Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today we have a very special guest, the wonderful Stacey.
Hello!
You all may remember her for some past GSMC podcasts, and so I am very lucky to have her back for this health and wellness episode. And I'm not going to say this is really the perfect episode for you to come in, but...
this is the episode I don't know too much about, but it's always very interesting.
We didn't bring Stacey in specifically for this topic. I don't want to give, like, false, like, ideas, but we do have an interesting topic today. The topic that we will be talking about is marijuana and its effects. I wanted to talk about this because I had read a recent article related to marijuana. It was actually talking about new research related to marijuana and reproductive, like males and reproductivity, if that's even a word. Fertility. There we go.
Yeah.
But to start off, I just wanted to say, I mean, I'm not saying that anyone should or shouldn't do weed.
Right.
That is my disclaimer before I begin this. And also, I mean, I'm not just going to call it marijuana. I mean, weed, pot, whatever you want to call it. We're going to talk about it in this episode. Also, in case you didn't know, it is now legal in 33 states plus in D.C.
That happened so quick.
Because it was so like fast.
It was only a few years ago when it was most definitely not still legal here. I remember hearing about it first becoming legal in Colorado, and that was a big thing. And I was like, okay, so it'll take us like another 20 years before we get 10 states. And it's like, no, I was like, let's go.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow.
I was surprised to read that number. And because of that, it's really mainstream and I would say like more socially and culturally acceptable than ever before. And also like a lot of public opinion is turning more towards like acceptance. And like, I feel like more and more people are smoking it and talking about it. I mean, well, smoking it, dabbing, rolling, eating it.
Right.
And all of its different forms, putting it into lotions.
Well, that's been happening, I think, because you used to hemp and the fine line between when is it hemp and when is it marijuana. Yeah.
Except now I feel like I see lotion bottles where it's like just ever with like the marijuana leaf on the bottle.
Yeah, it's like cannabis lotion.
This is more overt than before.
Yes.
And again, I'm not an expert on this topic. But it is interesting, and it's interesting the effects that weed can have on health and also the research related to it. So I was interested, and I feel like it's just a topic that is more out there in the public, so we should talk about it.
Well, and it's also very interesting, I think, because we don't really have any sort of precedent for this of, hey, this thing that was totally not legal forever now becoming legal very, very quickly. Like, it's not even like the end of prohibition, because that was legal, and then we just were like, eh, we're going to take off a decade, and then it became legal again, so it's not even like... We don't quite know how to go forward with this because we've never had it before and it's all happening very quickly. Whereas like it used to be, you know, you had to go to, oh, I know a guy who knows a guy, and you have to go to some shady, I don't know, I've never bought marijuana. But the idea that you had to go to some shady back alley and talk in code to buy marijuana, and now you start seeing all these places all over where it's just like, oh yeah, there's, you know, the grocery store and there's the pharmacy, oh, and the marijuana place. Yeah, it's just
exactly.
Right there. Go around the corner.
It does feel like there are dispensaries everywhere, which is really interesting. And also, I want to say specifically, we're going to be talking about the good and bad health effects of weed. And again, the effects on fertility weed can have on males.
Yes.
So two main topics. Also, to begin, I think we should understand the components of pot and what are like the different chemicals that are in it. In general, weed is filled with hundreds of different cannabinoids and chemical compounds in the marijuana plant, but there are two main chemical compounds. So I'm going to try and say all of these.
I will totally let Heidi do it.
Oh, God. Okay. So there is the tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, mm-hmm. Which is marijuana's main like psychoactive mind-altering ingredient, and that's what makes you high. And I'm just going to say THC because I'm not going to try and pronounce that again. and then the other one is CBD, which a.k.a. Cannabidiol.
Cannabidiol?
Thank you. That works. We're going to say CBD. and that is the non-psychoactive ingredient in pot. And it has been touted for a while for like healing and health benefits. So I think sometimes if you talk about like lotions or things like people will say it has CBD in it. THC and CBD have been shown to have like different preliminary health benefits. However, different mechanisms for delivery, like smoking, vaping, edibles, skincare products, even apparently coffees, they can all complicate the health benefits of pot. So it gets kind of complicated. And to start off with, I just want to say like some of the complications that can come with discerning weed's health benefits. For example, smoking pot is not good for your lungs, like period. But there's like CBD, which shows promise when it comes to treating pain. And it has been noted in the scientific community that its powers have been overstated. So it's a little confusing.
Right.
Also, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, still classifies marijuana as a Schedule 1 substance, which means it's hard to study.
And this is the one that really threw me off when it became so popular, because I was like, okay, it's for states, but still federally illegal. And
right.
I don't remember my government classes, but I know there's a whole thing about states' rights and, you know, who gets to decide and things. And I'm like, yeah, so it's legal here and technically it's legal in the next state over, but if I take it across state lines, then that's illegal. I'm confused.
Right. Yeah.
And that unfortunately means that, you know, now it's still in that sort of gray area of, oh yeah, we can totally, you know, smoke it and use it and all the different ways you do it, but we also kind of can't. And so therefore we can't really study it because it's illegal in some ways.
Right. Right. So it's a very complicated subject. Like its legality, and then also because of its legality, right, makes it more complicated. And also, hopefully, more research can be done, like, in the future as more, I guess,
laws and attitudes
change. Yeah.
Well, even beyond laws, just because now that it's becoming statewide legal in places, that's a big money thing that people are looking to get in on. And so you're going to definitely want the research to back it up with, no, this is totally fine. It's safe. This is good for you. And therefore, please don't take away my business loan or whatever it would be.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, we'll see more change starting soon. Also, to move on, I want to start talking about the good and the bad of weed. And I'll start with the bad because we should just get that out of the way. I feel like that's the regular. So, again, to start off with, as I've mentioned before, regularly smoking weed does mess with your breathing. The positive side is that it isn't clear whether this leads to more serious issues, such as like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, or like if it can lead to different cancers or asthma or lung function. That's not really clear if smoking it can do those things, but it can make it kind of difficult for you to breathe. But we're not sure about the long-term effects of it, unlike, you know, smoking cigarettes, for example.
I mean, you kind of imagine smoking anything, even just like people who regularly do like incense or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, moderation, because inhaling smoke is just probably never good for you.
Yeah.
No matter what it's made
of. Good.
Yeah.
I also feel like the underlying like thing of this whole episode will be, you know, moderation.
Probably. Yeah.
Anything in excess is bad.
Yes.
Also, the next fact that's a bit of a downer is that if you are a teenager who smokes, your brain is probably not happy with you, because young brains are much more likely to respond badly to repeated exposure to moderate or high daily levels of marijuana. Again, that's if you're like daily smoking. Also, the young brain appears to develop inappropriately and places the user, independent of genetics, at a risk of psychiatric disorders later in life. Again, if you're doing this high to moderate daily levels of marijuana. Also, puberty is like especially like a bad spot for the negative side effects of weed. So I guess it's sort of like when you're going to start smoking, it's definitely not good to start as a teen, especially in puberty.
You've definitely heard this about other things as well, just smoking cigarettes or drinking, that, you know, teenagehood is, starting in this teenagehood could definitely, you know, up your chances for having negative effects down the line. So it's clearly something up being a teenager is, if it's not hard enough, all the stuff you would want to do, don't do yet.
Yeah, your brain is still developing.
Right,
and your body. Not a good time to mess with it.
Yes.
Also, this one was, like, kind of crazy to me. But they called, like, the article I read said that it could be a game of psychiatric roulette, which was very frightening when I read it. But it could be that if you carry a genetic risk for psychosis, a daily use of high doses of marijuana will likely unmask those symptoms. So the question is, like, do you know if you carry these risky genes? That should be something you can consider when, like, you know, considering if you're going to be a regular user of marijuana. Because, again, if you have the risks, then smoking pot will definitely not help you.
But it might be hard to find out if you have the risks, since so much research still hasn't been done on marijuana. It's like, yeah, we know there are some mm-hmm. genes that are, but we don't yet know fully what they are, or, you know, what the connecting factors is between marijuana and these increase. So it's like, you know, but you don't know, and I don't fully know. And then that would sort of scare me off of, like, could this be like roulette? Like you say, except, you know, not the casino version, but like the one with the bullet.
Right. The firearm version.
Yes.
Yeah. And I felt like when I read this, they were basically trying to say, don't do it.
I'm sure they probably
there
were.
There was definitely that underlying sense. But they're saying if your genes, if you have a risk of, like, mental disorders in your family, smoking pot would not help. It could unmask those. So, like, if you have bipolar disorder, near daily smoking could worsen mania-like symptoms. And heavy users may also have more thoughts of suicide than often non-users.
So, I mean, to play marijuana's advocate, this also kind of sounds like the warnings you hear for certain medications like antidepressants.
Yes.
Which always used to frustrate me watching the commercials of, like, oh, this thing that's supposed to keep you from getting depressed could lead to more depression and suicidal thoughts. I was like, that seems backwards.
Yep.
But it's different people have different effects. And like most medications, we can't fully know that until you actually, you know, go and try it. So.
Right. And also, you know, more, I'm sure there'll be more like longitudinal studies later about the effects of marijuana that we haven't been able to do yet.
Yes.
For sure. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about marijuana.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Health and Wellness Podcast. We are continuing to talk about marijuana and some of its effects. We're still talking about some of the bad effects. And this is one that was kind of funny, but like bad. And I did not know about this. Apparently, there can be a rare and violent and uncontrollable vomiting that can result from chronic smoking. Also, chronic smoking is 3 to 5 times daily for several years.
Wait. So not 3 to 5 days a week, 3 to 5 times each day.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So if there's ever a definition of like a pothead, I would say that's probably
right?
it.
Yeah.
So if, again, you're a chronic smoker of marijuana, that can, in some cases, lead to a rare condition, which is called cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome, or CHS. And the symptoms of this condition are horrific bouts of days-long vomiting and abdominal pain, followed by the uncontrollable urge to take a hot shower or bath, which seems to reduce the nausea.
Okay. Well,
I like read that. I was like, that sounds like a symptom of a plague or something.
But at least your body knows. It's like, hey, hot shower, let's go. This will somewhat help us.
Yeah. It was funny. They said the uncontrollable urge.
I really want to stop vomiting. Let's go take a shower.
Right. Almost like you're not even thinking about why that would help. You're just like, I need to take a shower right now.
And it's only chronic smoking, not other forms of.
I mean, they said chronic smoking. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's other like forms of consuming marijuana, because I don't know how these studies have done, because doctors still don't really know the exact causes of CHS. It may be cannabinoid receptors gone haywire, or the autonomic nervous system issues. I'm sorry. So they're not completely sure.
Because when I first read it, my brain didn't process the smoking part. It just was like chronic marijuana use. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but that totally goes against that like sort of stereotype marijuana of Scooby and the Scooby snacks, and you're like, you're always hungry. I was like, chronic marijuana use would make you want to throw up, but there's the whole thing about smoking makes you, being high makes you, what?
I mean, it's rare. Rare.
So it may be smoking. Again, so much research still needs to be done on this. We don't fully know yet.
These are some interesting facts, I'd say. Things to keep in the back of your mind.
Yes.
Also, now we're going to move on to talk about the good parts of marijuana for your health. The first one, and I feel like this is the one that most people talk about and know, is that marijuana soothes pain.
Yes.
94% of the Coloradan medical marijuana ID card holders indicate severe pain as the reason for seeking the drug. And even though like a script saying that, oh, you have chronic pain, that doesn't always indicate actual chronic pain.
Right.
When you're trying to get marijuana, it still is the number one reason patients ask for marijuana.
Yeah, and I think that's part of why it became legal in so many places so quickly, was because for several years you could have it for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. And people saw this and were like, hey, this does actually help people who do have chronic pain, and or people who are claiming to have chronic pain. And it doesn't seem to be having horrible negative effects for those people.
Right.
So, maybe it's not as terrible as we thought it was.
Right. Yeah. And I think because they have the evidence of people asking for marijuana for medical reasons, they can that contributes to this claim.
Yes.
And also people with chronic pain who took cannabis or cannabinoids saw reductions in their pain, according to a 2017 report, which was by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering and Medicine. So there has been a study on this that shows that it can help with pain. So that's good. Mm-hmm. That is a benefit. Also, it can be good for your skin. Cannabinoid creams may help treat skin conditions such as eczema, psoriasis, and atopic and contact dermatitis. Researchers attribute these results to the compound's anti-inflammatory properties, which could soothe like itchy and irritated skin. Hence, like, you know, all the lotions that we see and stuff like that. And it can be in other like topical treatments. I'm sure those are developed. So that's also a good thing.
Well, and both of those are very fitting with just the history of drugs and what a pharmacy originally was for. Was, you know, a drug was something usually for pain or some sort of medical reason. And if you look at like old ads for medicine, they're like, hey, you know, your child has a cough, give them heroin.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, sure. Right. It feels like we're kind of doing that in reverse, where rather than, you know, putting the drug into medicine, it was first just a drug for non-medicinal reasons. And now we're like, oh yeah, also medicine. Oh yeah, that's what drugs do. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah, good for us to finally be like, oh,
drugs for medicine. Good idea.
What do you know? Also, marijuana could reduce the symptoms of multiple sclerosis and epilepsy. Mm. So people with MS often suffer from like muscle spasticity, stiffness, which causes involuntary muscle spasms. I hope I can say this, Sativex or Nabiximols.
I want to go with Sativex. That looks easier
yep,
to say.
Yep, we're going to go with that one, which is an oral spray derived from cannabis, is marketed to reduce this problem, and the drug is available in some countries. I believe it's still in testing for the U.S., but it has been shown to help. Also, this past June, the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, approved Epidiolex, which is an oral CBD solution for the treatment of seizures linked to two rare severe forms of epilepsy.
Hmm.
So that is hopeful. I mean, I could see the progress. We're moving towards, again,
right,
the use of drugs for pain.
Right, for medicine.
Yeah, so good for us.
And we are actually getting the government now approving some of these, as opposed to just, again, you know, your back back alley shady deal that you're trying to go to. So it's becoming certainly much more, the more mainstream it is, the safer it is, because then we're more likely to have research and to know what's good and what's bad about it. So that's probably a really good thing.
Right. And your doctor's not just saying, I mean, I'm sure there are doctors who say this, but the majority are not just saying like you should, you know, go smoke a joint, but they're putting it into pharmaceuticals. So in like a different form. So I feel like that makes it more acceptable.
Well, I mean, I feel like most doctors are not like you should go take a pill, period, you know.
Yeah.
But they'd prefer if there was a way to not do it with a drug. I'm sure they'd probably be like, can we do that? But knowing you need a drug is like, okay, here are your options, including now marijuana.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's a good sign. We're learning more about it.
Yes.
Also, apparently, marijuana gives chemotherapy a boost and can slash the side effects. Adding THC and CBD to chemotherapy drugs could create an even more effective cancer treatment.
Oh, that's
so
good
to
know.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Chemotherapy with cannabinoids was more effective than chemotherapy alone, according to a study in which patients could take a lower dose and faced fewer side effects in the study. Cannabinoids are already at work fighting chemotherapy-related nausea and vomiting. And Marinol and Sesamet, which are synthetic cannabinoids, are FDA-approved options for relief from chemotherapy-related nausea when conventional drugs can fail.
Oh, that's good. Look at all these FDA things. Again, my brain is still like a few years back, so it's just like there's like three states, right, that have marijuana. That's it? I'm a little behind,
evidently. I mean, 33. I guess they're really... I mean, when you have that many states, you know, people have to start doing research. Let's see. Also... According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, Overdose, and Death Rates, each year opioids, cocaine, benzoids, and meth take tens of thousands of lives, but marijuana isn't even mentioned in these rates. So I feel like that's like the conventional wisdom of like, you know, marijuana won't kill you, which, you know, seems to be the case for all these records.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, even says that a fatal dose is unlikely. However, as we've already stated, an excess of anything is not a good idea, because you can overdose, not necessarily a fatal overdose, but you can overdose. And that can include extreme confusion, anxiety, paranoia, delusions, and hallucinations. Also, severe nausea and vomiting and unintentional injury.
Well,
Yeah. Also, it's interesting. I feel like CBD is being used to prevent nausea and vomiting, but then also an overdose of pot can, you know, cause nausea and vomiting or that rare disease.
Right.
So it seems like it could go in a bad direction potentially quickly.
Well, and I mean, and I think it's possible to overdose over almost anything, because you hear story of people who've overdosed on water, which just seems like completely impossible, but your body, you know, wants to maintain a balance of certain chemicals. And so when you get too much of that specific chemical or substance, then your body's like, nope, can't handle. I have a limit for everything. So even for something like marijuana, and it's very interesting, you know, we were talking about the theme of going in reverse from medicine to drugs instead of drugs to medicine, of currently having the opioid crisis. And those are actual, you know, prescribed painkillers a lot of the time that people just get addicted to or take too many of. And this is a major problem, to have marijuana be this thing which started out as not even allowed for medical, that even people who had like a medical prescription would still have a hard time finding it, to now being like, yeah, we actually can get it more easily, but we're still not yet seeing, and possibly maybe never will see, these regular overdose numbers the way we see it with other drugs. I think that's definitely a positive on marijuana's side for people who are like, yeah, marijuana's fine.
Yeah, for sure. And it is really positive, I think, especially in like all the news of the opioid crisis, to be like, well, this is something you're, you know, probably not going to die from.
Right.
It could, although they have seen that marijuana increases your risk of being involved in a car accident. So they're not saying that, like, you know, excessive use of marijuana couldn't lead to other things and like other accidents. But just from the drug itself, you're probably, you know, you're not going to overdose fatally.
Right. So this might be, as it becomes more and more legal and we get more research on it, this might be the more preferred thing. Because I've had it where I did have to have, I think it was Percocet and something else a doctor prescribed to me. And every time, it was like three different times, but two times the same drug, they were like, if at all possible, we would like you not to take this and to wean yourself off it as soon as you possibly feel ready to. And I was like, okay, I got it. Thank you. I read all the literature about the problems, and I was very quick to be like, yeah, I don't need this. I can take a Tylenol. How quick can I get off?
For sure. Yeah. And I think, like, I'm glad that there could be other options for people. Yeah, which is good. Also, we're going to take one more break, and then we'll be right back and finish talking about marijuana.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are finishing up this episode talking about a study related to smoking pot and how that can actually affect the genetic material in sperm. We just talked about the good and bad effects of marijuana on your health. And this is a particular study. This is the study that made me want to talk about this topic for this episode. And it came out recently, and it's pretty interesting. And this study, it's about the effects of smoking pot on sperm. I'm sure it could also be other, you know, ways of intaking marijuana. Mm-hmm. They weren't too specific about how users were taking it in.
Well, and I wonder if it's just because smoking marijuana is the thing people think of most, and that's the one we can find most people doing. And so it's like, this is easy to study. People who take marijuana, mostly smoking. So we can start with that. Finding people who, you know, do it only in a cream or whatever would be a bit more difficult.
Right. Yeah. It's probably related to that. And this is a study from Duke University. It was published in the Journal of Epigenetics, which is a monthly peer-reviewed scientific journal. This study has found a number of genetic changes in the sperm of men who smoke pot and in rats who were given THC.
Hmm.
It's unclear how or whether the changes would affect a man's fertility or his offspring, but while more research is being done, researchers are recommending that men who smoke pot maybe not for a few months before they try to conceive, which is interesting. The study author, Scott Collins, said, what we have found is that the effects of cannabis use on males and the reproductive health are not completely null, in that there's something about cannabis use that affects the genetic profile in sperm. We don't know yet what that means, but the fact that more and more young males of childbearing age have legal access to cannabis is something we should be thinking about. And I thought that was a really interesting point, because it's true, as more and more states can allow people to smoke pot, that means more and more people are,
right,
or at least, you know, openly, that we know of. And that does increase people who are trying to have children, young people. It does increase the chances that more and more people are, you know, participating in pot smoking or whatever.
So what does that mean, that they found changes, but we don't know what they are? How did they find them then? Like, what changes are there, but we don't know what they are?
So they looked at the genetic material in the sperm of 24 men, and okay, they self-reported to have smoked pot at least weekly in the past 6 months. So again, it probably is just like smoking pot was the most common way,
right,
of, you know, participating in pot-related things. And then the study participants did not use tobacco products. Hmm. So they were trying to cut that out as a possible connection to the results.
Right.
And they took from urine samples, they correlated the men's THC levels with epigenetic changes in their sperm. Epigenetic changes are changes to the way in which genes are expressed. And the higher the THC level, the more changes were evident in their sperm.
Hmm.
And the men who smoked pot also had lower sperm concentration in general compared to men who rarely or never used it. And experiments in rats showed similar results with more epigenetic changes evident with higher THC exposure. Also, numerous genes were affected. They fell into two molecular pathways in both the rats and the humans. One of these pathways involved growth during development and another in organ growth. And this is kind of depressing. Both pathways, the researchers pointed out, had been implicated in cancer.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that would, yeah, that'd be nerve-wracking.
That was not good when I read that. To be clear, just so that people can take a breath, right. It's not totally understood what the clinical revelations of this research are. And apart from fertility, the scientists don't know whether the epigenetic changes can affect a person's children. But there's some evidence that they could be passed on. So they're right now, if they know they're affecting the sperm. They're not sure if the changes in the sperm could necessarily be passed on to their children. There's evidence that it could, but they're not for sure. They do say that more research should be done in tobacco use, pesticides, and obesity, things like that, all of which are thought to affect offspring. So there is still more research to see other factors that could be related to their findings. And also a limitation of the study is that the results in men, again, could be founded by other lifestyle choices, not just like exposure to pesticides or something like that, but also alcohol use, nutrition, and sleep.
Well, and also they said like 24, which is not a very large right. sample size, and you're relying on them to self-report, mm-hmm. which I mean, I guess, you know, as it's becoming more accepted that I report, you know, self-reporting that you smoke once a week is probably not going to be something a lot of people are going to lie about. They'll be like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. But those are all things you definitely want to consider when looking at the results of a study. If those are things that could, you know, affect it one way or another.
Right. The self-reporting is definitely something to consider. And I agree that this is a small study, and it does sound like they want to do more studies that are related to this. But this is definitely a study topic that I feel like is going to catch the eye of a lot of people, which, again, is probably why I found it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have some pretty big claims. Also, the team, again, they want to look at larger samples. They want to see whether these changes can reverse if men stop using pot, for example.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think that really would. And again, just as changes in, like, there are changes in the marijuana policy across the country, they're also increasing THC levels in the pot that most people are smoking. So the THC levels in general are going up. It's more potent, and that has increased over the past like 20 years. So that is something they should also consider, I think. And they are saying that as more research is being done, it is suggested again that men trying to conceive may want to lay off pot for a while before doing so. Others have cautioned men against, like, they should stop smoking cigarettes if they're trying to conceive, because smoking cigarettes has definitely been shown to affect fertility in men.
Right, and we have decades of research yes. on cigarettes. I do think it's also interesting when you mentioned the increasing THC levels. I think part of that is coming from the different sources of marijuana and how yeah. before, when it was, you know, not so legal, it was mostly actually grown, but now it's becoming more and more chemically synthesized,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're getting down to just, you know, the THC or the CBD and not like the actual plant you want to smoke itself.
Yep.
And so I do think we'll probably see in the future research on, you know, whether natural sources versus synthetic sources, if you can even call it that, have more or less of an effect, or if it's all marijuana is created equal, for right. lack of a better phrase, you know, just different things of that. So even if it's not just, oh, marijuana is affecting it, but very specific, you know, the THC versus CBD or what have you, very specific parts of marijuana that might be having an effect as well.
Right. And also, I mean, people smoked marijuana, you know, before like the 60s, when I feel like it was its right. most well known. But when they did that, it was a lot like less potent. Mm. But then when like soldiers went to Vietnam and whatnot, the marijuana they experienced there was so much higher. And that's what brought it to the U.S. And
yes.
hence you have all the hippies, you know, stereotypically smoking marijuana that is a lot stronger.
Right.
So the effects are different. So it has been increasing. The takeaway really is that there are effects of cannabis on the regular mechanisms in sperm DNA, but we don't know whether that can be transmitted to the next generation. And that comes from one of the authors of the study, Susan K. Murphy. She also continued and said, in the absence of a larger definitive study, the best advice would be to assume there are changes that changes are going to happen. We don't know whether they're going to be permanent. I would say as a precaution, stop using cannabis for at least 6 months before trying to conceive.
Which, I mean, to be fair, just to be fair, because the mother of the child who's going to have to carry it will have to stop a number of things for the next nine months at bare minimum, like coffee.
Right.
So, you know, you could shoulder that, guys. I think you're okay.
Right. I agree. And I feel like even if people are freaking out, like just not smoking pot for 6 months before trying to have a kid is not the worst thing that could happen.
And then afterwards, I guess you can go back to smoking pot.
Right.
So long as it's ideally not around the kid.
Yeah.
Please
preferably.
Don't.
That would be bad for their little lungs.
Right. Yes.
But again, you know, this study will probably, more research related to it will be done.
Yes.
So thank you all so much for listening. I believe that brings us to the end of our show. And we hope you can turn into the next health and wellness episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.